I'm stood with David Hearn. I'm doing very little, and David Hearn is in fact cooking lunch for us. Cooking? Can you you cook a salad?
Yeah, I guess you can't. He's not cooking salad. He's just looking in little pots and anything that vaguely looks.
It looks amazing. Okay. So far, I see pine nuts and avocado and tomato and celery, and you keep a well-stocked kitchen. You can prepare a salad for me any day.
I'm just looking for anything that's left over.
Well, this seems like potentially the worst time in the world to talk about 2001. Quite an important year in your life, I guess, because...
2001, yes.
And that was when you were diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, it was obviously a shock, but was interesting. I guess the first thing that was fascinating is that sometimes how difficult it is to discover you have a cancer. One would think, it's something that can be diagnosed. But actually, even very skilled surgeons sometimes have to look a lot to discover what it is and where it is, and in my case it meant a lot of photographs being taken up my backside.
Not the photography you're used to.
Yeah, not the photography I'm used to. Although what is bizarre is that if they do it quite a lot, you do get quite used to it. And I remember saying to the surgeon, my worry about it is that I'm beginning to quite like it. suddenly he saw on this sigmoidoscopy, I think it's called, something which he instantly said, "Oh, well, I know that's cancer. We don't really even have to do a biopsy. You know, I want you in the hospital in 5 days. We're going to see what happens." And then they give you the odds, which in my case were not great. It was a colon cancer, of which, in theory, you have 40% chance of living, which I, being an optimist, thought was actually quite good. I mean, I work on the principle that... averages are averages, which means if it's 40%, some people it's 60%, and some people it's 20%.
Yeah.
And I've always been pretty fit. I actually never smoked, and I've never drunk.
Never drunk?
No. Well, that's a lie. I've obviously had the half a glass of something if I've been so thirsty and there was nothing else, or a mistake. I was once in Russia and drank what I thought was water and gurgled down vodka or something at some dinner. But basically, I've never drunk. And so I felt fit and I felt confident. And so in my own mind, the odds were much more 50-50. And 50-50, if you talk to a gambling person, is pretty good odds, you know. So I did actually go in to have the operation with something which is, for me, is very positive, and that was the realization that actually dying didn't frighten me. So that was a very good message to get from this experience, that I know I'm not afraid of dying as such. I don't like the idea of being in pain or anything like that, but the actual thought of dying wasn't that important. The other thing that was very, very important for me was the lying in bed, for the day before you have the operation. And you suddenly realise that this thing of thinking about your life genuinely is there. I mean, you are aware that you've got this day, you're lying in hospital, and it is very conceivable that you ain't about to wake up again, you know. And what to me was remarkable was that I started to think that the highlights of my life were never what at the time I did them I would have thought was the highlights of my life. The things that I think, oh, that was great, you know, I became captain of rugby or something or whatever, or I'd done something really worthwhile. I was given some prize or that. None of that. And virtually all I realized that the most important things in my life were usually things with friends. And they were to do with silly little things like being on a beach and running along and falling, or somebody falling over and you laughing at each other and finding that funny. And every single one of the moments that I treasured, I realized was like that. That to me, particularly as I did come out the other end, was really thought-provoking. You know, I mean, sometimes I think we do get a bit over the top on, I don't know, on certain things, you know, and I think we don't treasure friendship and deep friendship. But by friendship, I mean, I'm talking about real trusting friendship, where there are people that you realise you can totally rely on, and they rely on you, and it and you accept all their faults, and you're trying. To me, friendship is about trying to understand what somebody's trying to communicate to you. You know, not trying to pick faults all the time in what they say, but it seems to me that it's the essential thing in conversation. You know, one is that you try very hard to understand what the other person is saying, and two, that you're totally willing to change your point of view if what they say is convincing. So all these sort of things, I just lay there thinking about, you know. So it was, in fact, a bizarrely very positive sort of thing. And then I came out afterwards and I realised, you know, I'd been in the hands of this man with immense skill that most people just take for granted. You know, some of these surgeons are extraordinary. And they do it day after day after day. And you know, obviously they're going to make mistakes. They're human beings. I mean, in my case, I was lucky. Because I was internally so fit, it seems that I didn't need quite so many drugs to look after my lungs, because usually when you have a long operation, they're worried about, you know, getting liquid into the lungs and things. Well, if you don't smoke, your lungs are in better condition. Doesn't mean to say that that's going to make you perfect, but it gives you a better chance, because they're not having to put stuff to deal with that. And it apparently my colon was very flexible, which meant they could cut more out of it and do things like that, which was interesting. There was a funny incident. After you've had that kind of operation, you lie in bed and obviously you can't eat and your whole digestive system doesn't work. You know, they've just cut a great chunk out of your digestive system. And so they, what they do, or did in my case, they give you a colostomy bag. Is it called a colostomy bag? I think it's called a colostomy bag. And they put that on you. They don't attach it, but it's there so that you can feel it. And it's a very positive thing. It gets you used to the idea, if you have to wear this thing, it's not the end of the world, you know. But the reality is that the clue that you're going to be okay is that you can fart.
So if you can fart, you're fixed.
Your whole digestive system is probably going to work, you know. So you lie in bed desperately waiting to fart. And I was there for 5 days, you know, not eating anything. And, of course, the longer it goes on, the more desperate your mind thinks, God, this is not going to work. And then suddenly I farted. And I literally leapt up in bed and I was saying, nurse, nurse, I farted. And it was, you know, I realised that this is one of the highlights of my life. You know, so not only was this bizarre thing that the most important photograph in my life is taken up my backside, which discovers the cancer, but one of the highlights of my life is it's actually farting, you know. So It's very difficult to get too pompous about things when you realise those extremes. So I learned a lot from the experience. Obviously, I'm glad I don't have to go back and do anything again. And I'm in my 10th year of... I mean, the NHS is... God, it's been brilliant for me. I think it's... it is the most civilised thing about this country, and it is staggeringly important that we keep it and everything. But after the operation, I went to see the consultant, Mr. Blackett. They're not called doctors. It's a mister for some reason I've never quite understood. And you go back and see him every 3 months, and then you kind of graduate to see him every 6 months, and then you graduate to see him every year. And now my next visit to him is my 10th graduation, which means I've finished. I'm then...
It's free,
like,
to go.
It's like getting your degree. you've done your PhD in cancer.
Or farting.
And you're then allowed to go on. And I think that's lovely. And he has become what I would call a minor friend. I enjoy seeing him, and I give him all my books. Every time I get a book, I send him a book. And in fact, when I see him this time, the latest book I'll take for him. And I did actually photograph him and the complete team that operated on me in the operating theatre on the place that it did. But what to me was extraordinary was that it was talking to the other members of the team, nurse and the anaesthetist and this, it was the first time that anybody had taken, had thanked them. Isn't that extraordinary?
Wow.
To think these people, doing these extraordinary jobs. And it's amazing how few people...
Actually take the
simple time of writing a letter or something. I mean, in my case, I got them all in and photographed them, which was, I think, nice for them, Obviously, I gave them all a photograph.
And all the books that you're doing since are, you almost have to thank the doctor for them.
Well, of course. I mean, it's what I say, and it must be very boring to him, because every time I see him, I more or less what I say, it's almost like a nervous reaction. One says, well... the reality is I give you this book because obviously I would not have been here if it hadn't been for your skill or possibly the skill of somebody else doing the same thing like you, But
fantastic.
Anyway, we learn, I hope, we learn from everything.
Well, if your fitness is, okay, I drink a little, but I've never smoked, and if eating this salad is going to make me nearly as fit as you, then I'm going to very, very much enjoy it.
Well, I have to keep fit because I do desperately want... I have a little game I play, and that is that I'm very tenacious, and I like to finish things. And so one of the ways of living longer is to give yourself a long-term project. Because if I give myself a five-year project... I've got to live 5 years because I've got to finish it, you know. And so then the trick is when you're 3 years into your five-year project, you start on another project, which is another 5 years. And so that's the way I... And so to do that, mentally I feel absolutely fine. But as you get older, to me, you're getting older when you realise that you are conscious of movement. When you're young, you leap over things and you do things and you play. You never think about the physical side of your body. As you get older, you begin to be aware, this aches a bit. And now, I sit down and I find my hands go out onto the table to help push myself up, So I am aware of keeping fit is pretty important. Mm. So at the moment, I'm going through a slight spell of balance difficulty, but under normal circumstances I do still go to the gym, 3-4 times a week. So
I guess moving is just as important as seeing for a photographer, otherwise you won't get to take these images. Well,
anyway, here we are,
lunchtime. Thank you very much indeed.